You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Matthew chapter 15, as we continue our study through the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, if you would follow along with me. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." At this point in Matthew's gospel, the popularity of Jesus' ministry had grown significantly. Jesus was now recognized everywhere that he went. The multitudes surrounded him. There was an enormous entourage that followed him. Yet with the increasing acceptance among the people, there was also increased speculation and opposition by the religious establishment. Testimonies of the miracles of Jesus had reached the ears of the religious leaders at the headquarters in Jerusalem. They had heard about this feeding of the 5,000 with just a few loaves and fish. They heard about the synagogue ruler's daughter being raised from the dead, and so many other miracles as well. Jesus' ministry was powerful, it was effective, it was fruitful. And at this moment, a faction of Pharisees and teachers of the law came to confront Jesus. And one of the things that we will discover concerning the Pharisees is that they had developed a religion of hypocrisy. And they arrived at this place over time. They had developed man-made traditions that they sought to coincide, put alongside of God's written word. They had developed written oral laws in what was called the Mishnah. And these oral laws were a way of spiritual life for them and traditions they'd established. In fact, they said, quote, "Tradition was the fence around the law." Yet as the years went by and more traditions were established, the fence turned into a prison and the traditional requirements became extreme and unbearable to the people. One example of this was in their unrealistic Sabbath day laws. You were not allowed to carry any burden on the Sabbath because it was considered work. But the strenuous traditions they placed on the Sabbath day and what it meant to truly rest according to what they had written made it almost impossible to rest on the day of rest. You had to work to rest in order to really rest. It just did not make sense, the things they came up with. And one of the most important areas that had been addressed, traditionally speaking, was in the area of cleanliness. They had written 186 pages in the Mishnah, which were devoted to what made you clean. And this tradition originated from the scriptures there in Exodus chapter 30, verse 19, Exodus chapter 40, verse 12. And when it was first written, it had to do primarily with the priests and their cleanliness. But the pious Jews began to practice the priestly washing about 200 years before Christ. So by the time Jesus came there into the region of Galilee, this tradition concerning cleanliness had been firmly embedded into the culture to the point that it was taught as a requirement for all of those who wanted to be clean in the sight of God. So consequently, they were washing all the time. The washing itself, as they refer to here, concerning the washing of hands. Why do your disciples not keep the tradition and not wash their hands before they eat bread? Were they hygienically challenged, or is there something else that is referred to here? It was something else. The washing they were referring to consisted of taking 1.5 eggshells of water and pouring it over your hands as they were pressed tightly together upright. And then you would take another eggshell and a half of water with your hands pressed together downward, letting the water drip to your wrist and no further. Then you would flip your hands over and point them downward, and you would pour over them this way, that way. And finally, you would rub your hands together in your fists with your palms. And this was to be done before every meal and before every course. Something. They got even more carried away, and they devoted 35 pages to how to wash the vessels that were being used. This outer washing had taken on a deeper meaning to the religious leaders. To them, the outer washing had been trivialized so that in their minds, if you were truly clean, if you were really walking in purity before God and you did not do this, you were unclean before God. If you didn't wash your hands in this prescribed manner, you're living an impure life. Legalism was entrenched deeply into their lives. And it became such a problem that a story was told of a rabbi who did not wash ceremonially in this way, and he was excommunicated. They took it seriously. The result is these men were far more concerned, listen to me, with what was taking place on the outside than what was going on the inside. They went through the motions outwardly, but inwardly they were full of hypocrisy, as Jesus will point out. Jesus is asked, how come your disciples are transgressing? You know what Jesus did? Jesus asked them a question. They asked him a question. He gave them an answer by asking them a question. He did this often. Verse 2, he said, why do your disciples transgress the tradition, they said, of the keeping of the elders? Jesus said, well, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me, it's a gift from God, then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. The Pharisees said, why did the disciples transgress the traditions? And Jesus said, why do you transgress the law of God by your tradition? It's a good question. The religious leaders had developed a loophole, a way around keeping the law of God by embedding a tradition in its place. The word of God said you're to honor your father and mother, which meant you also take care of them when they get older. You help them, you assist them later in life. But the tradition that had been established stated that if you had something in your house that was of great value, you could say it was korban, meaning it was dedicated to God. You could still keep it in your house. You could use it for your purposes, but it was dedicated to God. So if, for example, the parents of a Pharisee came and said, son, we need your help. We're hurting. Can you help us? He could say, oh mom, dad, I would love to help you. But you know, this is all korban. It's all dedicated to God. I'd love to help you, but it's korban. I just can't. And this allowed them to get out of an obligation because they said it's all been dedicated to God. It was an easy way for these men to get out of meeting the needs of others and hindered them from honoring their father and mother in time of need. The bottom line is the Pharisees used their tradition to violate God's word. Why should anybody obey a code of traditions that would cause you to violate or go against God's word? You shouldn't. They'd established their own form of righteousness that they were proud of, and they made it their business to make disciples of their hypocrisy. They took parts of God's word that they liked, and other parts of God's word, they found a way around it. Do you know people like that? Here Jesus said the result of living that way in verse 6, you have made the commandment of God of no effect because of your tradition. God's word has no impact on your life because you take what you want and dismiss what you don't like. In other words, Jesus is saying, what's the use of seeking to keep the commandment and listen, putting it on your forehead? You know, they wear these things on their foreheads. The phylacteries, there's like these little boxes that they tie around their head. Do you know what's inside that? The law, passages of scripture. They tie it around their wrist. They have a thing on the door that they touch when they come in. It represents what they believe. They touch it. They pray it. They've got it wrapped around. You can have all of those things, but all that is just an outward piece of leather on your forehead that has no impact on your life. You disregard it. In reality, the Pharisees had a form of godliness, but they really denied the power. There are some today who, like these religious leaders, are self-deceived into thinking that if you clean up the outside because you go through a tradition, maybe handed down through the years, or maybe you go to church like you've always done, that that's enough. The fact is, God is far more concerned about what's going on the inside of my life than he is on the outside, because what comes on the outside starts within. You can clean up. You can check the box. You can go through the motions. My life is pretty much put together. But what about the inside? Do you find passages of scripture that you disregard because you don't like it? I think that's open to interpretation. I don't think that really means what it says it means. Really? It does say what it says it means. And God's not confused by this. But some people do that. They, even in churches, dismissing passages of scripture as that's not for today. I would hate to stand before the living God and say, I didn't think you meant what you said when you wrote that. Here's what Jesus' response was to the Pharisees in verse 7. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. It's very sobering what he says. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people, he said to them, they draw near to me with their lips, with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, and they teach as doctrine the commandments of men. Look at what happens when you get away from God's word and implement your own standard of righteousness. Do you know what happens? First of all, Jesus said, it's hypocritical. The word comes from two words meaning play actor, a man of many faces, hypocrite, hypokritos. In ancient culture, when you played a part, you put a mask up. This is the mask for this. And if you're playing a different part, it's this mask or it's that mask, depending on where you are. You put the mask on. It's hypocritical. They pretend. This is my work face. This is my church face. This is hanging out with my friend's face. Hey, you know, what face are you wearing? Who are you pretending to be? Jesus then looked back at a prophecy of Isaiah in the Old Testament. And Isaiah was prophesying to the people, saying that they were drawing near with their mouth and their lips. They were saying the right thing, but their heart was far from me. And how this was revealed is they would come to the tabernacle or the temple and they would worship God, offer their sacrifices. They would leave the temple and they would go to the altars of idols and worship there right after. They just went to church and then they left church and went and worshiped idols. They were saying all the right things. Their hands were lifted. The words coming out of their mouth saying he is holy forever. And then they leave as if nothing ever happened. They went right back to the altar of idolatry and began to worship there. And here it says, in vain you do this. In vain you're worshiping. You're just going through the motions. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Furthermore, he said they were teaching as doctrine. They were holding their tradition to the same level as God's word. Teaching as doctrine the commandments of men instead of the commandments of God. Are you going through the motions today? Do you worship God on Sunday only to deny him Monday through Saturday? I remember as a young man, a young boy really, singing an old song that we learned. And it was a simple song. Maybe you remember it. Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? It's every day of the week. It's 365, 366 if you count leap year. Every day you're a Christian, man. Not just Sundays. They were playing the hypocrite. You know, the world always plays the there's so many hypocrites in the church card when they want to justify what they're doing. Would to God that it wasn't that way. that there was no evidence for that. When people say that to me, I always say, well, why don't you come and join? You fit right in. I say that in love, but it's the truth. We've all played the hypocrite at some point. Jesus then gives an explanation to the multitudes that are gathered around, who had been taught these traditions of men as doctrine. When he had called the multitude, he said to them, hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the man. It's what comes out of his mouth that defiles the man. That's what really defiles him. It's not, I didn't wash my hands traditionally and I ate something and oh my goodness, I'm impure. That's not where impurity comes from. It starts inside and makes its way outside. Furthermore, the disciples then, notice this, they're a little bit concerned because these guys are from Jerusalem. These aren't the lowly Pharisees from some, these guys are from the headquarters. You look at their concern, verse 12. Then his disciples came to him and said, do you know, this is saying this to Jesus, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? I'm not sure if you picked up on that, Jesus. Can you imagine that? Hey, Lord, tone it down. These guys are getting serious. This could look really bad for you, of course. I mean, these people, they're from Jerusalem. You offended them. Really? What? Why did you offend them? Sometimes the truth offends. What did Jesus say that wasn't true? All he did was present the truth, and they were offended by it. And he said to his disciples, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted, it's going to be uprooted. Let them alone. And then he described them. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Well, that's pretty clear. Jesus said, don't worry about it. Blind leading the blind. It's asking a blind man for directions, and he's leading you, but he can't see. You must be blind also. That's what they were. They were blind leaders of the blind. They were leading people astray. And Jesus was bringing the truth that could set them free. But Jesus didn't leave his disciples there. He gave them a real explanation. What really makes someone unclean? I mean, really. Peter answered and said to him, Lord, explain this parable to us. Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand? Whatever enters the mouth, here he's explaining it very, very patiently. Whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach, it's eliminated. But the things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart. And they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile a man. He makes a distinction. It's not about the traditional washing that makes you unclean. This is where the uncleanness comes from. It comes from in the heart. All of these things that come out of the heart are an indication of what's going on inside. If a man is jealous, envious, covetous, where does that start? He didn't wash his hands. I'll tell you, that's what happened. Have you been washing your hands? Because I see there's something going on there. I think I can tell you got a little attitude. Did you wash your hands ceremonially? You didn't, did you? I knew it. Why don't you go and wash your hands, come back out, we'll have a conversation. No, it has nothing to do with it. It starts inside. If a person is prideful, where does that begin? Inside the heart of that person? And then it's worked out in their actions? If a person is profane in their speech, in their language that they use, where does that happen? It starts in the heart. It's you're getting a revelation of, wow, got some heart issues there because I can hear it. It's coming out. It makes its way to the surface. And if you've been a Christian for some time, you know that life will present and the Lord will allow certain circumstances at times to reveal what is in our heart that we didn't necessarily know was there. Never found, probably not this service, but other, it happens. It happens. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. For what purpose? To humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart. whether or not you would obey the commands of the Lord. It wasn't like the Lord didn't know what was in the heart of the nation of Israel. He knew exactly what was going on inside of their hearts. It was for them to see what was going on. So God allowed them to be tested. God allowed them to go through the wilderness so that they could see there's a change that needs to take place. This is coming out of my heart. I wish I could say to you that this never happens to me, that God reveals things about my heart that I don't necessarily like to see. But I'm sure I'm among friends in this regard. I will confess to you, it happened today on the way to church. I was on my way, got in a little bit late last night from Tennessee. We were out doing a men's conference and flew in, and on my way to church this morning, I thought, man, I need a cup of coffee. And so I drove by a local coffee shop here, which will remain anonymous. You know, I'm driving through, and I go inside, and I got some people in there because I usually see them, and so I've got relationships. I know them on a first-name basis, and I see my guy in there, my barista, my barista man. He's got a mask on. All of them had masks on. I said, hey, what's up with the masks? Why do you guys got masks on? I said, well, somebody got COVID, so we have to wear them till this particular date. And I didn't, without even thinking, that is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. And I was like, I said stoop. There's other things I could have said, but that came out. And I just was like, and after I walked out, the Holy Spirit was like, hey. I mean, it's true, but you know, some things need to remain inside, maybe. But it's dumb. Makes no sense. Like, you just better get used to wearing that because you're going to have lots of people coming in here sick wanting coffee. It bothered me. I came in all just, I had to pray. I was like, I got to get in the spirit, man. We got church. It happens. God showed me what was in my heart. Somebody asked me, did you still buy coffee? I'm like, yeah, this is my guy. It's not his fault. Anyway, what's coming out your heart? What are you saying? Oh, these guys, man, they drew near with their lips. They worship. They raise their hands. God is good. Then they ran to the altars. And it really, Jesus said, as long as that was taking place, worship was vain. You just have become really good at doing certain things because people do them around you. But if you're running to the altars of idols right after, there's something that needs to change within the heart. And until that change, you're just going through the motions, man.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor John Randall. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor John's teaching ministry by visiting adailywalk.org.